Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery Roadshow. Friday, we are here at the Graduate Hotel, 9th and P, as it's Gopher Week. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore can join us, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, and follow us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio at JayMoore44. Can tweet at the Pride of Chicago, back in studio, Danny Burke at DannyBurke5, and get an email in, Chris@HaleVarsity.com, Jay@HaleVarsity.com. We'll get to some of those as well. Mentioned we are at the Graduate. It is Sunday. Drenched. It is beautiful. A far cry from last weekend, specifically Sunday, which, thank God. But it is sunshine. It is beautiful. The garage doors can go up. The tiki bar is to my right. And I think they will pour you something strong if you need it, something light if you don't. And Top Golf suites are here. We have a group enjoying. Money is being exchanged. Somebody is winning. Somebody is losing. And we invite you out here to the Graduate, 9th and P, every home football Friday. We're back here. It's been a while, man. It's been a while since we've been on location because of Nebraska being on the road. But Minnesota comes to town. Jay, Big Red wrap up. Jay Moore. You know what? This is an important ball game. I kind of refer back to the scene from The Natural where, what's his name? The guy with the mustache and Quaker Oats. God, yes. I'm blanking.
He's the coach.
The coach,
yeah.
But the actor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
not going to – that one's not going to come to my head.
It isn't,
no.
But there was a scene done by Don Imus one time during Thanksgiving that's how I remember the guy. We won't go there. but they bring in some, I don't know, some therapist, some sort of, as Robert Redford said, some carny act, right, to talk about losing, how it's a disease, how losing is horrible. In Major League, you sacrifice the live mm-hmm. chicken. They didn't do that. They got Joe Boos some more rum. Whatever it's going to take for Nebraska tomorrow. Minnesota comes to town, a really young but talented Minnesota team. I might be over-exaggerating on the talent with Minnesota. But P.J. Fleck, man, he gets his guys to play hard. They play hard against Iowa. They played hard against Ohio mm-hmm. State. They are going to play hard tomorrow against Nebraska. How does Nebraska react? How do they deal with this 0-6 monkey on their back? Let's get into it here. Greg Smith is 15 minutes away to tell you about some recruiting. Bill Dolman in 1 hour. And the return of Klausburn from where he was detained for your Friday forecast. Jay, you have been in some winning locker rooms. You've been in some dejected locker rooms. How does this team come out tomorrow? I give you a choice A and a choice B. Tight because they are over. Tight because they're back home. Tight because they are pressing and they want so badly to win. Or do they come out angry? Do they come out angry about last year, 54-21? Do they come out angry about the final 4 minutes against Northwestern? Do they come out angry at the accumulation of almost being right there to the finish line? What side of the coin here is going to be flipped and land tomorrow at Memorial Stadium at 2:30? A tight football team or an angry football team?
I think I'll take the angry. I don't think you'll see much. You know, this is you're in the seventh game of the season. Even though, you know, you really haven't got anything to go your way, obviously. This team has come out and, for the most part, started football games out pretty well. Other than maybe the Troy and, you know, the Michigan game. And, you know, if they don't get that pick against them in a Michigan game, you know, that could go off to a much better start. But I think they'll be just fine. I really do. You know, I always wondered, you know, about the maturity of this football team, but by all accounts, and what has been said this week, and what you're hearing, it sounds like, you know, this team has some good leadership, very mature, is approaching it the right way. Never too high, never too low off of – I mean, there's really nothing to get too high about. We haven't won a game yet, but just kind of staying on that line, never veering too far off of it. You know, there's a lot you can hang your head about. There's a lot you can be negative about. There's a lot you know, you can make a lot of excuses for reasonings why, you know, well, you know, this week is I'm gonna save myself this week. You know, there's a lot of excuses that can be made, but I don't foresee that happening with this team, which is good, which is what you want to hear. But in turn, I think that you'll see an offense that will continue to execute for the most part. I think an offense that will, you know, take care of the football, hopefully.
I laugh because yeah. you've seen it 100 different ways.
Right. Yes. No, but you mean, yeah, it's the turnovers, the penalties, you know, it's comical. It's almost like you laugh because you can't cry anymore, you know, because of all the mistakes that have been made so far.
Or you're dehydrated.
Right, correct. No, I expect this team to play well. I mean, they played well for 58 minutes of the game last week. They did enough to win that football game. They just, defensively, just you got to seal that off. You got to make one more play offensively or defensively. Special teams actually, you know, were better. I know you hung 4 points out there, but in a time where, you know, the punter pins them deep, hey, they did their job there. Defensively, you just got to get one stop and the game's over. But I'm excited to see how they're going to play. And I think they're going to play well. I really do. I think it's going to be a bit of a grind at times. I think PJ Fleck obviously is a hell of a coach. We'll get the team ready to go. I think they'll do some good things. I think you'll still see some areas that have hurt Nebraska this year. I think you'll still see some some poor timing of penalties and a turnover here or a special teams miscue. But I think this team can – everything that's happened to them this year, I think they can fight through it. I really do. And I know it's hard as well because I know when you're kind of been through this part of the season and you've been through 6 losses, and I know you – when things kind of maybe go sideways, it's really easy to say, here we go again, oh man, you know, here, you know, hold on to your hats, you know, it's really about to get upside down. But I just think this team is, like I said, the maturity level with this team is I'll give them, you know, some good credit for that. It's better than what I thought, but I fully expect them to get their first win tomorrow. I do. I felt really good about last week. I really did. I thought that was pretty much in the bag. There was a little doubt in the back of my head, but this team is obviously way better than their own 6 record shows. But again, it is what it is. But you know, your record kind of shows you what you are as a football team. But they definitely have enough talent, and they've been through enough already this year to come out and play well, I think.
They have been through everything and anything as Minnesota-Nebraska kicks off. We invite you down to the graduate 9th and P Hale Varsity Roadshow Friday. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, Danny Burke back at our studios. You might see the ESPN Lincoln graduate sign just outside here, right across from Old Chicago. They have good food, good drinks, and top golf simulator suites. Jay, you have picked up a club here. You have mm-hmm. swung a club here. There's video evidence of you doing so. And, man, it's a nice option on a Friday afternoon.
It's a very nice option. Well, you know, it would have been a really good option on Sunday when we got about 3 inches of snow here. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't get out and enjoy this weather on and play, you know, on a real golf course for 9 or 18 – I'd say you can hightail it right over here.
You can. We can open the garage doors mm-hmm. and pretend like right. we're on the 9th green, my man.
Absolutely.
And swing away and get it handled. Okay, we're talking Nebraska, Minnesota, tight or angry, and which Nebraska comes out? A team that's tight, desperate for that first win, or angry that they don't have it? And it is time to go. Carl Spackler, who's staring at me. There's a picture of Caddyshack. And kill all the goofers. There's a few Minnesota fans milling around. They are no doubt going to invade. One of the scenes that is seared into my mind is what happened in 2014. The loss that eliminated Nebraska from the West Division race. Nebraska's up. They get a blocked field goal. They return it.
Yeah, Nate Gary returns it.
Nate does the old finish line. He got through there. And Nebraska was all set. I think Max Williams was the tight end. He's still in the NFL.
Was Leitner the quarterback then?
Mitch Leitner.
Yeah. They just seemed like they'd keep it. He ran the ball. They just get like, I mean, that was just kind of one of those 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of games.
It
was just, they didn't kill you on a ton of big plays, but it was just like 4 yards here, three yards
there. And Smith was a freshman from Texas that ran hard that day. He's a senior now. My, oh, my, how time flies. But they came in here, and I think it was a 28-24, 27-24 comeback. They were down 21-7 at one point. And that was kind of the start of the end for Bo Pelini. But that was under Jerry Kill. And that was under Captain Dilley Barr, running the defense, who's now in Washington State. P.J. Fleck come in, inherited a really good culture, built on top of that, knowing it being a Northern Illinois guy, by the way. And he said, let's just go young. So they have 32 freshmen that are playing.
That's unheard of.
And they are performing. Mm-hmm. And he's got a 400-pound offensive lineman. Is there anybody you lined up across that you said, okay, that guy ate Wheaties, he ate cake, he didn't cut the fat off of his marbled steak?
Yeah.
That's what's going on here. Nebraska is going to be facing a 400-pound dude tomorrow.
Yeah, my rookie year, now it's in San Francisco.
you got to hear this.
So Larry Allen, who's a great cowboy.
Big old Larry.
Great cowboy. He was, you know, on his tail end. He was on the way out of his career. I think that was his last year playing. He finally retired, but they called him Big Homie because he was from he was from L.A. The dude was ginormous. I mean, he was the largest human being that I've ever been around.
You about 360, 380?
No, but it was just, like, solid, though. But he was just – this was one of those freaks. I mean, you don't play 14 years in the NFL if you're, you know, just – He's a freak, and I think I was like second team goal line, but someone got dinged where I had to go up on the first team, and he is like, I am playing almost like a four eye technique inside shoulder of the tackle, but he's the guard. I'm like, oh boy, I'm feeling it right now. They're going to power play right at me. I'm gonna get doubled. I'm gonna get thrown through this field goal post. It was live too. I'm just like, oh crap. Mm-hmm. Welcome. I'm about to have my welcome to NFL moment, and about my first week of training camp. Actually, I don't think I ever came in contact with him. I think they kind of ran the play away. So thankfully,
they were frightened of Jay Moore, NFLer.
Yeah. So that was that was kind of like, holy smokes. But other, obviously, going to some big boys. But that's one of those. It's like, okay, this is Larry Allen. I mean, this guy's won, what, 3 Super Bowls with the Cowboys? Like, but again, he was on his tail end of his career.
Final
but
victory.
It's still Larry Allen, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good story. And they were wise to run away from you. It wasn't your bad. We're down here at the Graduate, 9th and P, Hail Varsity Radio. You're invited out. Sunshine, beautiful day. And the garage doors can open up, can feel that sun and breeze. And tee it up. Top Golf Suites. And you can bring some of your friends. Food and drink specials. I recommend the burger. I will say that here. It is a tremendous burger.
I just saw some wings and nachos walk by me. Those things looked
right. And Jay,
real nice.
You're grabbing. You're grabbing again. That's holding. They're going to get flagged here. The drinks they have here, they have the Major General Fox, the Specialist Mason, the Corporal Alford, the General Robeson, and the Sergeant Saunders. I feel like I'm reading off.
Is anything with tequila?
Let me see here. We have rum. We have bourbon. We have vodka.
It's got to be something. I mean, obviously.
I don't know. But I'm sure they have it for you.
Yeah.
We'll get that handled here at halftime, Jay. Greg Smith is coming up. We're talking Nebraska, Minnesota. Danny Burke back at our studios. Klausburn is going to be an hour and 15 minutes away. And I think this. I think Nebraska comes out. I think they are angry. You heard Coach Walters mentioned it. You can kind of see it in Coach Frost, the tension. He's also proud. Your pal and tremendous coach, Greg Austin, his whole body language this week, and it's not that he has bad body language, but he's more comfortable around us now, us being the folks that stick mm-hmm. microphones in his face, or he is feeling good about where his line's gone the last 2 weeks. And I think he's feeling pretty good about where his line is at. Your tackles did well. Ziggy ran really well. Ziggy was tremendous running the football again. You got what you got on the interior. And Coach McBride just screamed this Monday. He's back in town this weekend. He wants the kids to go have fun. Was there a moment, and we only got about 90 seconds here, we can carry this over the rest of this hour. Was there a moment where you just, you or the team had been struggling, and you went out there and just said, screw it, we're just going to go have fun, we're going to play ball because I love playing football, versus, again, back to that tightness, that pressure, that pucker factor?
I don't know. I always felt pretty tight when I played. You know, I don't ever felt like, you know, I could just go out there. I mean,
There's tightness for a reason.
Yeah, because that's why you practice what you practice. You practice as fast and as hard as you can to let it go there. And so it can become that in the game. But in the game, it's so – it gets preached on you how close, you know, every – you know, if you're
every
half step –
step counts.
Yes. And it's like you got to be so perfect sometimes when you play. But that's how important it is to practice the right way. You know, practice free and fast and still do the right thing so you can do that in the game. But then the game, you got to be able to – you know, do take care of your responsibility because, I mean, it's a matter
of inches.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Al Pacino screaming at halftime. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah.
And he gives during an Oliver Stone mm-hmm. movie. Mm-hmm. That is Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt. We are here at the Graduate 9th NP. We want to see you down here as a Roadshow Friday with Hail Varsity Radio. We are here till 6. We invite you down and presented here by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Welcome back to Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery here at the Graduate 9th and P. And if you haven't been to the Graduate, it is awesome. It is so awesome. A lot of Nebraska-themed familiarities is the best way to put it. You got an old-school Nebraska pennant in the corner. You walk in, you check in. There's a picture of Johnny Carson. I would say late 70s based on the tie size and the plaid. And they got arcade games when you walk into the lobby. We are here staring in front of Top Golf. I have, it's kind of like a house arrest anklet that'll shock Jay Moore if he leaves the seat. So we keep him here on air versus him playing Top Golf and taking money from patrons. We are down here till 6. Home Football Fridays here at the Graduate. 9th and P. Hail Varsity Radio. We welcome in recruiting analyst extraordinaire and wearing his LeBron jersey that says Go Lakers, Greg Smith with us, at Greg Smith HV. Mr. Greg, how are you?
I am excellent, man. Outside of that loss that they took to Portland last night, I am doing very well.
I think Damian Lillard was going to headbutt and skull stomp an official. Like, maybe that happened last night or it was on the verge of happening.
In the tunnel.
In the tunnel. Greg, you got your post up, Big Red Recon. You do this every week. You break down the class. You talk about commits, and that's wonderful. The iPad's down to 10%. Better memorize. Okay, how has the week been for Nebraska? A lot of questions, not just Monday, but through the rest of the week with media availability. About how are recruits seeing and feeling, either the ones that are in the boat or guys that are almost on the hook? How are they dealing with 0-6? What's your perception of this situation?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I tend to break this one down into two sections, that I kind of like you did, with the guys that are in and versus the guys that are still being recruited. The guys that are in seem to be very strong. Like, anyone that I talk to in the class seems like, hey, you know, we knew that there'd be some bumps in the road. These guys, this coaching staff led by Coach Frost, love those guys. They're building things the right way. Plus, with a healthy mix of when we get there, things will be different, because everybody always thinks that you should. Then when you look at the guys that are yet to commit, it's been a little bit more of a wait and see kind of a thing right now. Like, I think that guys, there are a lot of prospects and really good prospects that feel good about Nebraska and like this coaching staff and like what they saw either when they came here over the summer or if they've already been here for visits to see a game. They like what they've seen. They just need to see all of that come together with victories, if that makes sense. Like, it needs to go to that next step so at least some of that promise that the coaches are making to them that brighter days are ahead can actually be seen a little bit right now.
Tell me about Jimmy Fritzsche out of South Carolina, 6'7", allegedly blocks the sun. He's from South Carolina.
Yeah, Jimmy's a really good kid. Like you said, 6'7", 245 out of South Carolina. He plays some tight end, but he also plays some offensive tackle. An offensive tackle is where Nebraska is recruiting him for. Greg Austin has been all over him for probably about 6 weeks now. They've really been looking at him. And Jimmy probably will set up a visit here either towards the end of the season, maybe that Michigan State weekend, if not after the regular season is done, get him in December. But, you know, Nebraska continues to look for those long, lean, athletic tackles that some of them used to play tight end, and this one he does. But they want more athleticism out there on the tackle.
Greg Smith's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, recruiting analyst at Greg Smith HV. It's where you follow him on Twitter. You read him with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Greg, how about a pass rusher? Who are the candidates for Nebraska? Who do you like that's in the class that's already a pass rusher? And how many more do they need? It's been obviously an issue since the Colorado game.
Yeah, you know, it's if the coaching staff has heard all of the cries from the fan base and has been watching the film, because this week really was about them offering junior college pass rushers and a couple of prep prospects as well. One guy to keep an eye on for sure out of high school is Seth Coleman. He's about 6'4", 200 pounds right now. I think he has the frame to be able to put more weight on. He's down in Florida. He's an Illinois commit, but I'm going to be honest with you. When I talked to him for my interview, Illinois didn't come up until I brought them up. So that's usually a bad sign for how committed a kid is to a school. And then there's a bevy of junior college guys they're looking at, led by Drew Mathis out in California. Travis Fisher actually went out and saw yesterday because Ryan Helf couldn't make it out there because his wife is expecting pretty soon here. So there's a number of guys that Nebraska is looking at right now and kind of restocking the deck and shifting their board around for those pass rushers. But they are definitely aware of the problem.
You were able to get in contact a little bit. Troy Simon, a defensive back, JUCO. That's another need. He's out of Coffeyville, Nebraska, really combing the JUCOs as well. What's a number that Nebraska wants to look at from a JUCO standpoint versus what they have from a high school and a development, that balance of almost ready-made or nearly ready-made versus the 3-year development plan here? What's a JUCO number that is fair to estimate for 19?
I think you're looking at 6 or 7. Maybe as high as 8 if they get like a couple of rock stars in there. But I think 5 to 7 is a really safe number right now. They've already got Desmond Bland in the class. But I think the positions that you're looking at are the ones that you've seen offered quite a bit. So offensive line, particularly at the tackle spot going forward, cornerback in particular, pass rusher, so outside linebacker. I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't look for maybe a defensive end as well that can also get off after the passer, because you can never have too many pass rushers from any spot. But yeah, I think 5 to 7 is the number that they will end up settling on if they have their druthers this cycle.
Greg, what's the visit list look like tomorrow? Who's in? Who's maybe teetering? Some big names, some under the radar names. Tell me about the visit list tomorrow. Going to be a great day for football.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great day for visitors as well. Like, it's not understating to say that this could be the biggest day. That Colorado game was a big one because they had so many commits in the house for that one. But you got 4-star defensive back Noah Pola Gates out of Arizona. You got 4-star wide receiver Darian Chase out of Washington. And interestingly enough, both of those guys have Husker ties, as Chase has family members that graduated from Nebraska. And Pola Gates, his cousin, is actually committed to Nebraska to play softball, and she'll also be here. So that'll be pretty interesting. You also have Tavion Mayo, a defensive back out of Georgia that Nebraska likes a lot. It's his first official visit of the fall, so whenever that's the case, Nebraska has a chance to really set the bar. And then 3-star wide receiver commit Jamie Nance will also be in town for his official. He's been in a couple of times already out of Oklahoma, but he'll be here this week with his family. And then you've got some really big name and big and stature unofficial visitors. And starting with 2019 four-star offensive tackle Bryce Benhart out of Minnesota. He'll be in town with a slew of his family members. He was here, if you remember, officially for the first game that got rained out, but he's definitely on commit watch. Nebraska's done a great job with him. And then sticking on the offensive line, four-star offensive lineman Turner Corcoran out of Free State High School down in Lawrence will also be back in attendance for his second visit this season. Nebraska sitting in a great position with him.
We have the good luck charm just entering in 9th and P. That is Dino, Uncle Dino, with his Heisenberg RV. He's been everywhere, and he's brought nothing home. Ofer, but we'll see. Ofer, he's telling me I'm number one. Greg Smith is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine, at Greg Smith HV, recruiting analyst extraordinaire. That's a list, Greg. I mean, that's longer than Santa's list. What do you think of those kids?
Yeah, it's a great list. And actually, now that I think about it, there's a couple of guys I forgot. Xavier Watts, 2020 wide receiver out of Omaha Burke, who got offered from Northwestern and Wisconsin this week, but does not have a Nebraska offer yet, will also be in town. So will Ben Kroll, a 2020 inside linebacker from Wisconsin. But it's a great list. Like, this is, and I think I said this on Twitter when I put the article out, is that this is a huge weekend. Like, there's no way to really hide from that or run from it. Nebraska needs to embrace it. It's a big weekend, both on the field because they need to get a victory, but it is also a huge week in terms of recruiting because they have a lot of important targets for this class and next, and those guys need to see a victory to go along with the good vibes that they have from the staff.
Greg, put your game analyst hat on and take the recruiting one off. What happens tomorrow? I got about 3 minutes.
Yeah, I think that Nebraska is able to win this game. I think it sets up really nicely for Nebraska to be able to come out, play angry, but play controlled. That will be a key, is that I think that guys are a little peeved off from the game that happened last week. But they seem focused. They seem determined throughout the week. It was not kind of a woe-is-me situation. And I think the perfect team is coming to town for them to be able to get over that hump in Minnesota. They just don't have a very good offense, and Minnesota is very weak against the pass. We'll see how they do against the run because they have been pretty good at stopping the run. But if Nebraska can come out and jump on Minnesota early, and if Nebraska can be able to put together some consecutive drives offensively, I think the defense kind of is what it is at this point. I think that Nebraska is just going to give up points because of some of their limitations, either in personnel or what's happening when guys run into each other on blitzes, which I'm sure you guys have talked about. But I've got Nebraska winning 35-21.
Okay, so a double-digit victory for Nebraska over Fleck and company. Greg, I need to ask this. Sink the boat. That's a gorgeous Twitter handle. he wants me to ask you about the 50% win projection for the Lakers against the Suns. And this isn't a Jacob Padilla troll job, but it might be one of Jacob's buddies. Do you have a response?
That has to be a Jacob Burner account. My only response is don't try to contact me if the Lakers lose to the Suns. That would be in a very foul move.
I would think so. I would think so. Greg Smith, follow him on Twitter at Greg Smith HV. Read him with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Make time for the recruiting recon. Greg was also at Millard South West Side. Greg, about 30 seconds. What's a takeaway, bud?
Yeah, that Miller South team is really good. They're really young as well. Mm-hmm. It felt like every time somebody made a play, I looked up, and that guy was either a sophomore or a junior, including their quarterback. They've got a really talented team. I look forward to see what happens with them in the future. And kind of the same way with Westside, led by Avante Dickerson, who picked up an Iowa State offer this week. He's a really talented player. But I look for big things from both of those teams in the future.
Greg Smith. Greg, we'll see you tomorrow down at the game, bud. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks as always, man.
Appreciate it. There he is, Greg Smith in his LeBron jersey. Good for him. Danny Burke is telling me to shut up. We got to go to break. We're here. 9th and P is where the graduate's located. Downtown Lincoln, gorgeous, sunshine, beautiful. And yes, Top Golf suites and simulators for you to use. Food and drink specials. We are going to go make and take some money from Uncle Dino, who is back in town from his Nebraska Grateful Dead-esque world tour. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
We are back here, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Troy, the man who runs the graduate, says hey. And it's awesome to have him have us out again. Top Golf Suites are in front of us right now. We've got some Goofer fans manning the couches here. We've got some Nebraska fans in the corner at the Tiki Bar. And they're saying, bartender, bring me another one, and that's Joe Boo's rum. It's very bad to take Joe Boo's rum. Jay Moore is here, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Chris Schmidt. Bill Dolman coming up to Pride of Fairbury. Bill may have sacrificed a live and fried chicken for tomorrow. Clausburn at 5:40. What you have with Clausburn is a story we can't tell on air about his detention last week. It's all right. He'll be back. The line is now up to 4.5 for Nebraska. Jay, you said something to me during our pre-show meeting. It involved Jose and Jim and Jack. I'm kidding.
The four horsemen? Or what do they call it? The four wise men? Or
three wise men. My question here is when you play Nebraska Bingo 2018, there's a lot of ways to lose a football game. Nebraska's found about every way. And I want to get into how you coach through that. Because Coach Frost and his guys are really tremendous teachers. And I'm wondering how you can keep spirits. I mean, listen, you do a lot of things in order first before you just start going 10-3. I get it. And guys got to learn how to practice. That has been implemented. They're practicing better. The last 3 weeks, that narrative has changed. What's your take on Scott on Mondays, on Thursdays? Hey, great week of practice, best week ever. Scott, you know him really, really well. He's not one to blow smoke. So how do you interpret that, and how do you transform it from Monday through Thursday, which has been missing when it comes to preparing your team,
right,
to execution and performance Saturday?
What's this kind of just kind of strange? You got to – because sometimes – 2 + 2 doesn't always equal 4. And in this situation, you have, you know, his Monday press conference comments of this, you know, best week of practice. We said our best Monday ever, blah, blah, blah. But it still hasn't equaled the win. And I made the comment on Tuesday on the show that, you know, a guy can hit the ball really well in the driving range, but he can't ever take it to the golf course. And that's this football team.
Is that because they've not done it in a game?
I don't know. It's, you know –
we're done it enough in a game.
But here's the deal is it's so hard. It's such a fine line because I think – and I can get in, you know, it's just, I don't want me to talk about the difference between football and golf. But in football, in my opinion
– we're staring at right, a top golf
right,
suite.
Right. But in
– Marriott, brother.
In football – or excuse me, let's start with in golf. You can know that you can hit the ball really well in the range. But you know if you play enough golf, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to play well on the golf course. Or you can have a really crappy warm-up, but you all of a sudden you find it on the golf course. It's two huge different factors because, I mean, there's so many different factors between on the course and range. It just is. But football is about – football practice is about the closest thing you can get to – a real game, you know, whether you're practicing football, baseball, basketball, you're actually simulating about as close as you get to a real game situation. So when you practice well, you should play well. You should do things well. But I think where this has hurt Nebraska in general, I just, you know, you can't, you know, when you make penalties in practice, that you don't really get the effect. When you turn the ball over in practice, you're like, it's kind of like, you know, you're just kind of reteeing another one on the driving range, you know,
doesn't count.
You know, so you don't really, it doesn't really hurt. you know, all of a sudden, you know, you hit a foul ball in the driving range. Ah, let's just peg another one up and let's just whack away. You do it on the golf course. Well, hell, now you're either taking a drop, hitting three or hitting four, whatever it might be, making a quad, and it hurts. But you just don't get that effect all of a sudden now. Get to the game, and those little things, yeah, you might be executing for the most part during practice. The energy is great. The tempo is great. But you're still committing those penalties and turning the ball over, and all of a sudden, guess what? You're into the game, and you do those same things. But now it matters. Now it counts.
Now it kills you.
We're in practice. You can say, we can just, hey, let's redo that play. Let's talk through it, you know, and you're like, okay, let's hope this doesn't happen again on Saturday on the field. Well, it has been. So I think that's what's really, I mean, that's been the difference maker. I think if you look at this whole thing and you say, hey, we are, I bet you if Nebraska was plus in the turnover category and or averaging about four penalties less, hell, this team might be
four and two, five and one
type of thing here.
As close as they've been.
Absolutely. I mean, take the Michigan game out of it, just because talent-wise we're just not there yet, but you know, those things there. I mean, those are game changers they have. I mean, you look at, you know, for the most part played pretty well against Northwestern penalties and turnover wise. You got some on defense. Yeah, you turned a couple. You know, you got the defense. The offense gave up 7 points off the sack, fumble, and returned it. But you know, overall, you just look at those key penalties late in the game. The false start by the O-line, the crappy snap out of shotgun back on the fourth down play, the roughing the passer, those little things, some of the pass interference. You know, those things just add up that don't you don't really get you don't really pay much attention to in practice. That's what's really killed this football team so far this year.
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio on the road here at the Graduate. 9th and P Home Football Fridays. We're down here at the Graduate. Top Golf Suites are beautiful. The simulator is awesome. There's some Gopher fans down here. There's some Big Red fans. And we are here till 6. Bill Dolman, NBC Sports, the Pride of Fairbury is coming up. In the 5 o'clock hour, the infamous Clausburn. On the way at 5:40 tonight with the Friday forecast, the Nebraska line has moved to 4.5. And Coach McBride said something on Monday that stuck out with me. And it doesn't matter who it is, but if someone on the first play of the game commits a penalty, it's okay to yank him.
Yes, I did hear that, yes.
And we got about a minute left. We'll need to come back on the other side with this. But no one's lying to Nebraska fans when coaches say we are thin at X, Y, Z position. That includes offensive line. Despite Gerald Foster, bless his soul, being a captain and being a guy that is working hard to be really good, there's been penalties. There's been lots of penalties with him. There's nobody behind him that can perform as well as him. Is that why he's staying on the field? And I'm just going to talk about Gerald because he's the guy that's your senior, that's your captain, and he feels sick about it and worse about it than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just get it clear there. We're not picking on Gerald. Can you pull a guy like that? Think about that. Jagel said, don't touch me. I just put my hand on his arm. And we'll come back to it. We're here at the Graduate 9th and P Hour 2 coming up. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down this first hour, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore is we're here at the Graduate 9th and P. Here till 6, every home football Friday. Want to see you down here. The Top Golf Suite is tremendous. Some Gopher fans have brought out their pitching wedge, the driver, the approach shot, and a lot of maroon in front of us, Jay Bird.
Is it garnet and gold?
It might be.
That's Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State's garnet and gold.
Yeah, it's maroon and gold.
Remember, was it Winky? Was he a Minnesota kid?
Chris Winky?
Yeah. He was 1,000 years old.
Right. But he was
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah. I know.
Steve Walsh, the old Miami quarterback, was a St. Paul guy.
Was he?
Yeah. Then Joe Mauer was supposed to go to Florida State.
Yep.
Then ended up going to the Twinkies.
That's who I was trying to think of, actually.
Yeah. want to remind you about buckling up. The laws of physics apply to you when you're in a vehicle. And what do you want to stop you, a seatbelt or the windshield? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. This applies in the driver's seat, the back seat, or the passenger seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. What were we talking about? It was that important before we went to break.
Gosh, it was
Danny Burke.
Pulling a guy.
Yeah,
whether
pulling a guy.
Depth-wise. Yeah, it's tough. You want to, but I don't know. I'm not familiarized with the depth chart that well to say, yeah, you need to put so-and-so in. I don't know if they could bring in, you know, this happens. They could bring in, you know, Conrad at center and then move Bo or Farmer back to one of those, you know, positions. If you know, a Foster, you know, or something like that makes a penalty. I don't know. I mean, listen, I know that, you know, the depth isn't great when they've talked about playing a walk-on freshman in Trent Hickson.
Yeah.
So
development. There's been depth and development.
I mean, the depth isn't there. It's just not. I mean, you just got to – I mean, that's half the battle. That's to get back to where we need to be. That's you got to get the depth back because that buys you time. That buys you time to develop kids and get them ready. When you don't have it, guess what? Then you're rushing kids in there. And they're not ready to play. They make mistakes.
Then you yank them and,
yeah,
and they never get better.
It's a slippery slope. Then you're trying to focus on getting guys better, and you know, that you need to be focused on, you know, maybe this group of guys. It's tough. You got to have the depth. You need the depth, and they, you know, really on both sides of the ball, they don't have it right now. Should maybe ask Greg this, but I don't know. Depth-wise, in my opinion, not the best. Probably D-line might be the best depth.
What's the talent level with the D-line?
Right, yeah, I don't know how consistent it is. You know, you see nine guys have played this year. I know there's been some injuries with Mick, but you've seen Deshaun Neal, you've seen Peyton Newell, you've seen Thompson, you've seen a lot of guys play, but here lately you've kind of only seen about five guys now play. They've really kind of narrowed it down.
That is Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt. We are here at the Graduate 9th and Pewin invites you down here till 6. Food and drink specials, Top Golf going on, and a chance for you to enjoy Nebraska, Minnesota before things get rolling here in the afternoon tomorrow at Memorial Stadium. Bill Dolman's coming up, and Klausburn with the Friday forecast. Hail Varsity continues Hour 2 live from the Graduate 9th and P, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery here at the Graduate Home Football Fridays. We invite you out here to the Graduate 9th in P as Top Golf Suites are alive and well. Folks are enjoying getting their swing on. City Golf Champ Jay Moore next to me. And I'll tell you what, I got that right, didn't
you
I?
You did. No, it's just funny.
And what? What?
No, just, no, it's just...
I can't say it about me, so I'm going to say it about somebody.
Right.
So there you go. We are excited to be down here. I want to see you down here. Lexi is just crushing it. She is handing out ESPN koozies. She's handing out lottery tickets. We have ESPN T-shirts. And we'll see if we can throw one to a gentleman that can catch the football or not. So that's for you. Well, I know you can catch. So, all right. Coach Brown is in the house. That's awesome to see him. Let's welcome in the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, Bill Dolman with us, we hope. Bill, are you with us? What's up?
I'm with you. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
All right.
How you doing? Coach Brown says what's up. He's just walking out of here, the Graduate.
Oh, that's great. Tell him hello.
I will. We just waved. Bill, what's going on, man? How did you cope with Saturday?
Well, that was a tough loss, and I'm not one that gets too high or too low. I've been around it, the games, the business, and all that for such a long time. But that one, I really felt badly for them. I mean, Nebraska did everything it could do to win that game, and everything it could do when it mattered most to lose the game. I think Scott made a mistake when they got the onside kick. They were not aggressive. That looked more like NFL coaching than aggressive coaching. So that was tough to see. But, you know, I watched the game, and I thought Nebraska was the better team. And that is, it sounds like such a cliche, cop-out, whatever you want to say. That is by far the best winless team I think I have ever seen. It's really strange to say it, but there are so many things that Nebraska does well that you can't believe that they haven't won a football game yet. And I said it last week, I've said it many times, you better get them now, because within 2 years and probably beginning next year, there aren't going to be any teams that are going to be able to get them, because that team, that coaching staff is going to be a winner. And people need to understand the journey. It took Tom 22 years, you know, to get a national championship. But the journey is going to be very, very satisfying when Nebraska gets on the right track.
Bill, would you have kicked the field goal in overtime, looking back at it, if you were the head coach in that situation, where that's how the game ended up and where this team is currently in the mix of this season?
Well, I wouldn't have fumbled the snap. I think that's key. I don't know. I don't think there is any confidence whatsoever in the kicking game. This is, you know, one area that I think you have to go back to, you know, the great days of Nebraska football when we were producing more NFL kickers than anybody, mm-hmm. you know? And we just don't have that right now. And I think that is something that is, you know, dramatically overlooked. But back in the day when you had, you know, I know Byron missed a big one against Florida State, I get it. But Byron and Chris Brown and, you know, so many guys that have gone through the program were so good for so long that it was, you know, just kind of a given that the special teams are going to be there. We don't have a kicker, and clearly Scott doesn't have confidence in that to do it. You know, I saw a Facebook post by Aaron Graham when he said, I've snapped the ball 10,000 times in my career, and the way, you know, centers are snapping it right now is not very effective. And I tend to believe that. It was the first thing I thought is, why is he holding the ball that way? And next thing you know, there it goes. So, no, I don't think I would have kicked it either. I just don't think there's any confidence that, you know, that they're going to make kicks. Not like the old days.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. So what's been most frustrating for you if you want to rank them 1, 2, and 3? Turnovers, penalties, or the inability to pick up a 4th-and-1 this year?
Penalties would be 1. Penalties would be 2. And I think penalties I'd probably slot in there 3. I'm one that's, I think penalties have a bit to do with conditioning. You know, when you get beat by a defensive end or whatever, a defensive tackle or linebacker coming up the middle, I think that you're a step off because you're just not conditioned to be quicker, stronger, faster than that defensive guy coming in. And therefore you get holds that, you know, you didn't have in the past. So are there mental lapses? Absolutely. Was the penalty in the end zone touchy, you know, roughing the passer? Yes. But, you know, that is one area where I think the penalties, it's not just lack of concentration. I think there's, you know, physical lapses that have to deal with that as well. Turnovers, I think Nebraska's got it better under control than they did, you know, back in the Pelini era, where it was just like you stand at the line of scrimmage and hand the ball off 3 times a game. You know, and that's, if 4th-and-1 bugs me, and it has bugged me for years again because of conditioning. But it's the giving up of 4th-and-10 that really drives me crazy. 4th-and-1, that just should just be the big guys up front. You turn or you let Adrian have it, and you get 3 yards. That's the way Nebraska football was. That was just a given. You're going to make it. 4th-and-3, you were going to get 4. But the lapses of defense on 4th-and-10 and giving up those big plays, that's troublesome too.
Bill Dolman's with us. Hail Varsity Radio. Roadshow Friday. We're at the Graduate here, 9th and P. And every home football Friday. Come on out. Top Golf Suites. And simulators are full up. Nebraska fans, Minnesota fans behaving well together. And we are down here 4-6. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. Is Bill Dolman on the horn with us. Hail Varsity Radio. Okay, we've gone over the Northwestern game and some of the positives to take out of it. To me, was just how calm Adrian Martinez continues to be. Good, bad, ugly. He's hanging in. The run game's been good with Ziggy. Nebraska did well against a team they're supposed to dominate, but they still did it, which is nice. Against the run defense, that's a concern of mine tomorrow is Nebraska against the Gopher rushing attack. Bill, I don't know how much Minnesota you've seen. I know you keep an eye on all football with your broadcast schedule. Are you concerned about the rush defense tomorrow for Nebraska against what Minnesota wants to do?
Here's what I think is going to be remarkable about tomorrow. You have a team that is 0-6 that's going to take to the field with 95,000 people engaged. Well, I think it is going to be one of the most unique scenes in college football history that a team that has not won a game still has an incredibly passionate fan base that I think will have an impact on the game. You've got a freshman quarterback on the other side of the field for Minnesota. I'm not worried about Adrian Martinez being a freshman because he doesn't play like one. I think that the atmosphere at Memorial Stadium is going to be so remarkable with a winless team that it will have an impact on how Minnesota operates its offense. I think that the atmosphere will create an energy in the defense that it will play perhaps as well as it did in the opening game against Colorado when those guys were flying around. So I'm not concerned. Minnesota's running game is not that great. They've got a quarterback that for 2 weeks in a row has thrown for just over 200 yards. He's got seven interceptions in his last three games. I think that the atmosphere at Nebraska tomorrow is going to rattle Minnesota. And I think the defense will be spirited, and I think that Nebraska, you know, will win. It's really been an impression upon me this last week that people at Nebraska are really going to respond. And I think it's pretty cool, and it's very, very unique.
What's been your read on Coach Frost's narrative? I mean, he's been very positive, and I don't think he says anything he doesn't mean, be it he hopes the Big Ten has to adjust to us, you know, from his December 4th debut to it's been the best week ever of practice. This team really did have to learn to practice again, and they're trying to have to learn how to play again, don't you believe?
Absolutely. And you're finding out it's having to learn how to practice and play because you've got this exodus of guys who just don't want to conform to, you know, being coddled. You know, they're not going to get their way. They've got to do it the Nebraska way. And I think that as the season has gone on, you have to adapt with missing personnel. I mean, there have been some significant people who have left the program, right? So it seems like every week through those first four especially, it's like, well, okay, our backup quarterback's gone. Our starting now backup running back is gone. Our return guy, one of our receivers, is gone. Other guys are gone. Other guys who are still around aren't stepping up and don't want to do it, so now we've got to adjust to that each week. Guys who probably were used to standing around in practice because it was kind of an NFL thing are now realizing, wait a minute, you mean I got to work 70 snaps with the scout team every week? It's probably a lot different atmosphere than those guys were used to working, you know? I've said it many times. Guys come in, they get what they thought they were going to earn, and then they just kind of coast. Well, you can't do that anymore. So, yeah, I think it's been an evolving process that maybe Scott and company didn't realize, that every week it's going to be different attitude and personnel that they're dealing with.
Bill Dolman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, and Bill Dolman is where you find him on Twitter. Bill, you've seen a lot of Nebraska football. You hosted the Tom Osborne Show, and you've covered a lot of national and local sports. I mean, you've seen it all. Is there a worry for you? And I know you just laid out that the fan base is going to be super impressive. You laid out the team you think will fly around. Do you think there's an element, and I was asking Jay about this, is there an element of the team being tight because they are winless? Could that affect their play?
I think it certainly could. But again, I think that those guys are going to, some of those guys are going to get on the field tomorrow and look around and go, oh my God, look at the support that we have here. Look what I'm a part of. And some of those guys, it will strike them that this is really, really special. And I think that that is going to probably have an influence on how tomorrow's game and the rest of the season goes. You know, and I think when you come to Nebraska, I've said this many times, so many guys, you know, in this era of recruiting, they go to a place where they can get a lot. But you've got to find the guys who want to go to a place and give a lot as well. And that's what you have to have at Nebraska. You have to have guys who are going to get a great experience, they're going to get all the bells, whistles, and toys. But as they evolve in their time at Nebraska, they need to understand that this place is really special. And I owe these people who are going to pack this place at 0-6, I owe them my effort. I owe them the heart and soul in exchange for the iPad and the PS4 that I get in my locker, right? I think people are going to start to understand that this is a really unique opportunity, and it's not so much being tight. I think it's going to allow them to let loose a little bit more and play with passion.
Bill, we need a score prediction, bud.
Well, you know, I've said it all along, and I think this is the week. I think Nebraska wins it, and I really like what I've been saying all season long. 5-11 to 15.
5-11 to 15. Nebraska covers the 4.5, says Bill Dolman. Bill, about 90 seconds. What do you got going this weekend?
Rugby. The big women's sevens tournament, the season kicks off in Glendale, the capital of rugby in the United States. So I'll be watching sevens action on Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, prepping for the big cross-country biathlon season that's just a month away.
Is women's rugby just sweet?
It's a brutal game, man. I'm telling you.
Well, I know, but I want to watch. When can I watch?
You just go online. I'm sure there's something that's streaming it live. But I mean, it's a great game. Even the sevens, as quick as it is, it's a physical, rugged game. And I have a lot of respect for anybody who takes the pitch to play that sport because it is physical and it is fun. So that's my weekend.
You love the option element of rugby.
I love the option element of rugby. Hey, and one more thing about Adrian Martinez. I finally put my finger on it. He reminds me of a Deshaun Watson.
Ooh.
I think he is what Deshaun Watson was to Clemson. I think that's what Nebraska has in Adrian Martinez.
I love it. I love it. Bill, enjoy rugby. And I know you'll be watching and checking out Nebraska. Thanks for a few minutes, brother.
All right. Have a good weekend. Go Big Red.
You too. There he is. Pride of Fairbury's Bill Dolman, Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. We are down here at the Graduate 9th and P. It's picking up. It's hopping. We invite you down. Food and drink specials and Top Golf Suites. A reminder, you notice that soybean sign in your neighbor's field this year. Well, that's right. It's AgriGold. You now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm, the AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground. The approach to soybeans, no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already trust and know. Visit AgriGold.com. We'll come back. We'll talk defense with Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, what he sees from that front seven tomorrow, and get his take on the talent level of the defense. Don't forget, Clausburn is coming up, and your chance to qualify for the Nebraska-Iowa Black Friday Roadie. That's on the way with Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore here at the Graduate 9th and P. We invite you down as we're here till 6, but put it on your calendar, get it in your phone, and remind yourself to enjoy great food and drink specials and check out Top Golf Simulators as we are here every home football Friday, 4 to 6. We got to play this for Jay and the what's going on with ESPN. at Hail Varsity is on November 9th, we will give away the Black Friday road trip. That is tickets to Nebraska, Iowa. That is hotel. That is gas. That is a Jet Splash car wash to wash the Iowa off your car when you get back.
The stank.
The stank. And we'll play this for you between now and 6, but this is – well, we need Blackshirt Jay's approval on this. Danny, do we have that thing queued up?
I'll have to get it queued up if you give me 30 seconds.
All right, we'll give you 30 seconds. Danny's on his phone laying bets for Friday Night Football.
Who plays tonight?
I don't know. He would know.
Probably
it's a Pac-12 team.
Pac-12 or...
Or a Big Ten awful matchup.
The American Conference.
See, they're good. Like, the Fighting Cincinnati Bearcats are really talented. Mm-hmm. And they're on Nebraska's non-con schedule. So, Bird, is your picture up there in the tiki bar?
I don't think so.
Do you want it to be?
I don't remember a night in here. But, no, we should probably get it up there, you know. I got to set up a little event here for some buddies here in January. I'm thinking this is a spot.
Oh, it's great. And the garage doors are now up behind us, so it's – well, you can see the sunshine and feel the warmth inside here, the Graduate Hotel. Okay, we're going to play this. Are we ready, Danny? Let's let Jay hear the Black Friday qualification sounder. Don't call in now, but this is what you need to hear when you hear it. Not now, but when you hear it, this is when you'll need to be caller 9.
Worse? How could they get any worse? We're at the threshold of hell!
Is this heaven? It's Iowa.
The jolliest bunch of fools this side of the nut house.
Hey, you know, America loves points.
We had to squeeze in Dirty Bob Diaco.
That's good.
Okay.
Anytime you can get Christmas Vacation in there.
Right, but it just, you get Christmas Vacation and a Field of Dreams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, dreaming about tomorrow on that field. You have Nebraska. Key's going to be run defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 1,000% important for Nebraska. Stop the run. Don't get beat up on play action. Smith is a really talented wideout. We can get into the secondary as well. What's a number, Bird, that is acceptable tomorrow for Nebraska's rush defense? They have played two teams that like to run the football, and they got ran on. Michigan, Wisconsin. Obviously, Minnesota, by reputation, is not in that class, but they just went for almost 2 bills against Ohio State. I don't care that Ohio State's getting blasted for giving up big plays and they're being questioned right now. They're still Ohio State.
Right.
Okay, you run against Ohio State. I don't care. That's impressive. What can does Nebraska need to do tomorrow, rush defense-wise?
Yeah, I tell you what, if Nebraska defensively can make Minnesota one-dimensional, similar to what they're able to do against Northwestern, obviously I think Minnesota can run a little better than what Northwestern can do. I really like Nebraska's chances in this football game. Again, playing good run defense, I mean, it's nothing earth-shattering. It's nothing new. It's playing on their side of the line of scrimmage. It's playing with good physical hat and hands. It's getting off blocks from the D-line, establishing your gap. Linebackers playing up or downhill. Outside linebackers setting the edge. And making plays. It's making tackles and then winning on first and second down. And then you get him in a third long, and hopefully we can get off the field and not struggle. But, you know, the defense is slowly getting better. There's things you've seen every week. I saw some good things against Northwestern last week. I thought, you know, overall the tackling was much better. Early on the game, our coverage was pretty darn good. You give up those fourth and tens and some chunk plays there towards the end of the game. But like I said, you know, on Tuesday night, Thorson's going to play on Sundays.
Thorson's going to go in the first 2 rounds.
Right. He is really damn good. I mean, some of those plays I broke down, I mean, he put those balls. Here's what makes – I mean, I know they threw it 60 sometimes, but you know, he gave some picks, and one was off a tip, and, you know, Antonio Reed made a great center field play on the other one. But
Antonio was nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. He does a phenomenal job of putting the ball where only his guys can get it. And a lot of those times, they were just perfect balls. I mean, only his guy could get it, and his guy caught it. And Nagel caught a ton of them last week, which was very, you know, that's the most disappointing thing is that we couldn't stop that one guy. Couldn't, you know, you knew damn well where he's going 90% of the times with the football. Don't let that one guy beat you. But going forward, you know, they stop this run. They're going to be okay. They're being, Wisconsin's playing a walk-on freshman quarterback. Now, granted, he did come from IMG Academy down in Florida. You know, he could have went on scholarship to other places. But if you can make this Minnesota team one-dimensional, you force a freshman quarterback in this environment to throw the football, you bring a little heat, you can create some pass, you know, some pressure, they'll be fine. But like I said, nothing earth-shattering. Establish line of scrimmage, play with good physicality up front, set the edge, linebackers play downhill, and they'll be just fine.
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt here at the Graduate, 9th and P, Hale Varsity Radio. Home Football Fridays, 4 to 6. Want to see you down here. Top Golf Suite Simulators are here. And it's a good time tonight as Minnesota and Nebraska gets kicked off tomorrow. You mentioned what needs to happen tomorrow for Nebraska. I wanted to get your thoughts on just the defense in general. I need your take in your prognosis from a pass rush standpoint, why does Colorado look like a different team in season from what Nebraska was able to do that first game versus now not getting home? Talk to me. I know you didn't do a lot of coverage. You dropped in the NFL as a 3-4 linebacker, but you know the secondary, you know a defense, you know what chin's running. You had man and zone issues. How does that get fixed, and is it personnel or is it scheme from last Saturday?
I think it's a mix of both. I mean, you know, I think you look at, you know, the, for instance, the two fourth and 10 plays they got on us, you know, on that drive where we end up holding them to 3 points, but they, you know, they still got them. One time we went zone, I said Thorson made a great threw it, you know, right where we weren't. Mm-hmm. And the guy made a great catch. That happens here in zone. You know, good teams are going to find those holes. And then the other time, we brought seven guys in a blitz, and they held in seven guys. So they only had three guys in routes, but you let Nagel get a completely free release. He runs a little seven route on a safety that's 10 yards off the ball. I mean,
and it's boom, it
yeah,
sticks. It's,
yeah, I mean, but Carlos Davis was a half a step from hitting him while he throws it. I mean, that's how close, you know, this game can be. But, you know, I just never like a free release in that situation. I know sometimes you're afraid of giving up the big play, but you know, you're a guy that's been killing you all game. You cannot let wide receivers get completely just free releases and off the line of scrimmage. But looking forward, I think Chin, you know, I think he's learning just as much.
I think a lot of these guys are learning.
Yeah,
learning
about what
the AAC,
I mean,
to the Big Ten.
Absolutely, you know. The Big Ten, you know, doesn't, you know, it's probably from top to bottom the deepest conference, in my opinion.
It's deepest, and it's probably the best coached.
I would agree. You know, SEC is very top-heavy. They get all the credit. It's very top-heavy because they got Georgia and they got Alabama. Okay, good, you know, good for you. You know, you look at the ACC, you get, you know, the pretty deep, actually, you look at that conference. But the Big Ten, top to bottom, I mean, it's pretty damn good. Big Ten football is very well coached, very well disciplined. It's smart. It's physical football. I mean, it kind of always has been that. And, you know,
there's not an off week, though, across the sideline. I'm not talking between the lines.
I mean, no, absolutely. I mean, you got to come with it every week. And if you aren't with it physicality-wise, or you're off mentally, not taking, doing your responsibilities, you get exposed. And I don't care if you're playing Northwestern, Purdue, hell, even Rutgers.
Rutgers is
Indiana. Yeah, Indiana. You know, you're gonna get hurt. And it just shows you how well you have to come with it. You know, you're not getting any breaks. You're not. I mean, I don't know the American Conference very well. How are we doing?
All shot. God. We're just doing the show, baby. Pardon me? We're not. No, we're on. Shot? That's a 4-2-40, brother.
but it just shows you. I mean, I don't know who the teams you're playing in the American Conference. You know, I, listen, they're not as good top to bottom. You get a couple good teams in there.
Well, you can win. You can win a penalty filled, wide open game.
Yes,
right?
You can. Yeah, because I mean, it's just, you know, it's a 63-47 type of ball game. You know, you get in those type of situations. But this staff is learning what his players can do. They're putting them in certain situations. They're learning. The players are learning from these certain situations. Do we have guys that can probably play a ton of man? No. Does he probably wish he wanted to stay in a little more zone sometimes? Yes. Did he think he had to bring pressure to try to get rid of the ball? Yes, and he did. But you got, you know, you take chances, and sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. And hopefully for the rest of the season, you know, you're taking these chances, it favors in Nebraska's way. And just hasn't. It just hasn't these first six games.
Deonte Williams, Cam Taylor, two candidates. If they are going to go man and bring a fifth guy or six even, those two guys have been the best in limited ops. Mm-hmm. In coverage. You've seen Deonte make plays on the ball. You've seen Cam get pass breakups. Those are the two guys that are the candidates. They were talked about this week. How many snaps do you feel they get tomorrow? Got about a minute here.
Yeah, you know, you'd like to see, you know, if they continue to get more, that shows their development. You know, and it shows the coaching staff getting more comfortable putting them in the game. But I tell you what, when you have DiCaprio Boodle and you have Reed and you have Williams and you have Lamar Jackson, who's looks like he's, you know, it's coming to him a little more. He's kind of had his come to Jesus type of moment.
Yeah, he's
where it's
responded
kinda,
so far.
Correct, and that's great. That's phenomenal. And those are guys that play a lot of football. You feel pretty good. You trust those guys. These new guys, I mean, they're coming from high school. They're coming from JUCO. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to you get out there and you get. You know, it's, you know, all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but it's, you know, it's a little quicker, a little faster. And if they continue to play and, you know, and can give those guys a series off every now and then, that's great.
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt here at the Graduate. Klausburn is next on Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. We're here at the Graduate 9th and P, and pretty awesome ceremony going on for one of the best ever, Aaron Taylor. He may be with us here before the end of the hour. All-American at center and guard, part of that 97 team. Aaron's a good dude, and congrats to him, College Football Hall of Famer. And I'm sure the Husker fans that are here are going to be happy to see him tomorrow as the Big Red faithful will cheer him on. We missed him last week. I'm sure there were drug dogs involved. We welcome in Klausburn. Klaus, how are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. I do want to apologize in advance if we drop the call. I'm actually on the road. Nancy and I are coming back. We had to take Carl down to Kentucky for his first day. And I got a sense he was a little disappointed. I think he thought he was going somewhere called Rolling Green. But either way, we're on our way back now and looking forward to a good weekend.
Klaus, you're too good. I can just be, yeah, he's in the back seat. You're driving. Okay, let's do this. Friday forecast, we'll start off with Michigan at Michigan State. Danny Burke thinks I cheat off of him in math class, so I'm going to start. And I'm going to say Nebraska, and that line is up to 4.5. We're going to change the 4 to 4.5. Give me Michigan the win, but Sparty the cover. And Harbaugh finally gets a rival. And it's going to be tight, 21-17. That might be not enough points, but that's where I'm going with it. Give me Michigan the win, Sparty the cover, Jay.
I like Michigan this one. They're the real deal, but Michigan has the best rushing defense in the nation. I like Michigan for the win and the cover, 31-21.
10-point ball game. All right. Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago. What happens?
Yeah, I'm here with you, Schmitty. I mean, Michigan is 2-8 straight up and 0-10 against the spread last 10 games versus Michigan State. Michigan State, however, is 0-4 against the spread in their last four games at home. But this is a rivalry game. Michigan State is the home team. If you're going to give them 7 points, I'm going to ride them. So I'm going to say Michigan's going to win. Michigan State will cover the final score, 33-27. The Wolverines win.
All right. Klausburn, what do you think here? Sparty or the Wolverines?
Well, I want to give you guys a little bit of advice. I'm a little older than you guys for the purposes of the bit. And, you know, you're going to get a little bit older, and you're going to want to keep things hopping with you and the lady, you know, fire things up a little bit. And sometimes, you know, the mind is willing, but the flesh is weak. And all you really need, boys, is a video of Michigan State blocking that punt and beating Michigan a couple years ago, and you're good to go. And if it lasts more than 4 hours, I'd imagine Christopher can set you up with the audio from the reaction still from the last couple weeks. But anyhow, I'm with you guys in this one. I think Michigan wins, and I think they win a little bit bigger than everybody else does. I'm taking Michigan in this one, 31, and Michigan State 20.
Okay, 31-20 says Klausburn. NC State and Clemson. Clemson's been teetering here a bit. They took out some authority following the narrow one. They had who almost beat them? Was it Pitt? Was it
Syracuse?
Thank you. The Cuse almost got
almost Clemson. Two straight years.
Yeah, would have been two straight years. I think Clemson wins this. I think NC State's pretty good. Their defense was supposed to be a rebuild. It's turned into a reload. Clemson wins but doesn't cover. They'll get it done by 13 or so, 33-20. That's the number I say. Danny Burke, what do you say?
Schmitty, you're killing me, man. I think NC State covers as well. I think that's a huge number. Clemson will win 38-24. Keep in mind, NC State is 6-2 against the spread in their last eight games against Clemson, and Clemson is 3-3 against the spread at home after a bye in the Dabo Sweeney era. So, yeah, Clemson will win. NC State will cover.
There's your degenerate breakdown, and we love Danny Burke. Jay Moore, what do you say?
I like Clemson in this one, but I still think NC State covers. I think it's going to be a rather high-scoring affair. Let's give me Clemson 42, NC State 30.
Okay. Let's move on to the Palouse. Washington State, the old pirate, was with us. Hold on. Klausburn, what do you say? I'm sorry. Let's skip that.
Well, I guess I have a question. Is this game at Clemson?
It is.
Well, then that changes it. I don't like NC State to cover them. They're only used to playing in front of a bunch of crazy people if Philip Rivers comes back and brings all the kids. NC State is one of those teams, too. I mean, they had Philip Rivers and Russell Wilson as a quarterback and never won anything. It's like dating Katy Perry and Rihanna and never getting to second base. Jay, if you could explain to Christopher what second base is off the air, that'd be helpful. But anyhow, I like Clemson in this one big. I think they cover 38-20.
Got to move it. 3-minute warning from Danny Burke. Oregon at Wazoo. I love the Pirate. Was with us last week. Give me Washington State in the win. 38-35. The win outright for Wazoo. Jay.
Give me Oregon. I like their quarterback in this game.
Herbie.
Yep. I'll take Oregon 34-31.
Danny Burke.
Yeah, I'm going to differ with you, Schmitty, and agree with Jay. I got Oregon winning outright and covering. They're 17-5-1 against the spread in the last 23 games on the road versus teams with winning records. Mike Leach is 1-5 off of bye week, so 42-38 Oregon.
Klausburn, the Pirate, or Oregon?
Well, I'm with you, Christopher. I like Washington State as well. And I did read somewhere that they're concerned that they could run out of beer in Pullman this weekend. And say what you will about how things have gone with Bill Moose so far, but he would have never let that happen. So I'm going to take Washington State in this one, 41, and Oregon 38.
All right, Minnesota, Nebraska, the Huskers minus 4. I believe what I'm going to say, and I think Nebraska wins this thing. Enough defense, enough offense, and the 12th man, the 12th fan, that big red faithful, 90,000-plus. Give me Nebraska 28-24, the win, and the outright win for Nebraska. And I guess not the cover now that it's at 4.5. So give me Minnesota to cover, Nebraska to win, but I like the Huskers to get AWJ.
I like the Huskers in this one for the win and the cover, 31-24.
Okay. You say by a touchdown. Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago.
Yeah, man. When it started out at 4 for the spread, I did not like it. I told you guys it was putting my brain in a pretzel. Now that it's at 4.5, I feel a little bit more comfortable. So I do think the Huskers will finally get their first win. I think Minnesota will cover, and the score will be 31-27. The Big Red get their first win.
All right. So we're on the same page there. Talk to me here, Klausburn. What happens?
Well, it's always enjoyable to play Minnesota, or as I call them during the last few years, I'm under the last coaching administration, the Ghost of Christmas Future. I'm hoping we can get the win in this one. I think we'll get the win in this one, but I'm with Danny. I don't think we cover. I think the final score is Nebraska 28 and Minnesota 24.
Man, Klaus, we're on the same page with the score? It's pretty good.
Well, I guess I'll have to reevaluate a lot of choices once we get off the phone here, but I'll give you that one.
Well, at least there were no Jerry Kill jokes today. Klaus, you behave. Be good. Thanks for the time.
Okay.
There he goes. That is Klausburn. We'll wind down a Friday from the graduate with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time here from the graduate, Hail Varsity Radio Roadshow Friday, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are here at the graduate. 9th and P is where you got to be. Home Football Fridays, Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. I like Eric Olson with the Associated Press, does a nice job. Commented on our ESPN Lincoln posting, and what we like to do is post audio from our guests or from Jay Moore or from Danny Burke or from myself, some of our takes or some of our interview moments for you to absorb via social media. And Bill was talking about the atmosphere tomorrow. The atmosphere being unparalleled for a winless football team.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd has always been there, the Sea of Red, the Nebraska faithful, to help urge this team on. And I think it'll be very fair. But Ole, I'll have to ask him about it Monday at the press conference, responding to Dolman as he posted the tweet, just like it rattled Colorado, Troy, and Purdue when it comes
very
to the atmosphere.
Point.
Very fair point. So we have to post a GIF in response. As somebody jumping off the top row with a steel chair. So here's the difference is Troy and Colorado in Purdue had some experience, a lot of experience, more experience. That's going to be my logic there to back up and stand by Billy D because we love him. Although they weren't fazed by Columbus.
No, not at all.
Last weekend, and they played well against Iowa. We'll see. 28-24 is what I'm thinking. It'll be tight. It'll be back and forth. I think ultimately, Anikstad is he's a turnover machine, man. He has gotten a bit too careless. 7 picks, 3 games, 9 total turnovers. That'll be your difference tomorrow. Nebraska, the way the secondary's been, gets a couple more. I think that'll be the difference. Adrian will do his thing. Ziggy will grind out to another 100-yard day, but it could be 4 per carry, not 7.5. And I think they get it handled.
I do. I mean, I felt good about last week. I still feel good about this week. I feel good around the rest of the season. Maybe not the final game or here in a couple weeks against when you go to Columbus. But this team's made nice strides. It's unfortunate they haven't necessarily got you a W. But I tell you what, you can build, and hopefully they can finish out the season strong. Take care of the football. Keep the penalties to under 10 per. I mean, can we keep it at single digits for once?
I'd say you got to be at 6 or under.
Stop the run. Make them one dimensional. And this thing should be it should be no problem. But I know this will be a grind. I know it's going to be a grind. It's just what we do so far this year, and hopefully we can learn from last week, learn from the weeks previous to get better, and finally get a W on the board for us this year.
All right, a programming note. Don't forget tomorrow morning, 7 to 9, weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Tune in, myself, Mark Kranak, live at the Hail Varsity offices in the rail yard. Real Red Reaction following with Willie J, Danny Burke, and Nick Gregeth. So keep that in mind. We will talk to you again on Monday with Hail Varsity. Danny Burke, myself, on KFOR sister station, KFOR at 8 o'clock. The Battle of Lincoln, Southwest Lincoln High. The finale in the regular season should be incredible. Great football tonight. Bird, you're awesome.
You bet.
Good to see you. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer for Danny Burke. Schmitty, we'll be back with you tomorrow, weekend edition at 7 a.m. with Hail Varsity.